Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, sponsored by Baptist Health, a very special holiday edition. Hope everyone had a great holiday break. Our best from everyone here at FIU to you and yours. So much travel in this time of the calendar, so we're going to give you an extra long edition of this FIU Athletics Podcast brought to us by Baptist Health. So you can listen in the car, can listen while you're doing the dishes, following a holiday meal, however you choose. We appreciate you hanging out with us here on the campus of FIU. First things first, we're going to do a quick look back at some of the biggest moments over the course of the 2024 season. And then we'll hear from the man himself, Scott Carr, graciously taking the time to sit with us here and go through some of those seminal moments, in addition to the thought process and everything behind the scenes, the stuff we see and the stuff we don't from the head man. But first things first, the biggest moments of 2024 on the athletics calendar here at FIU. We'll take a listen back at championships for swimming, tennis, and soccer, as well as on the gridiron, the announcement of a new name, a place, and a person. Enjoy.
The 2024 Swimming and Diving Championship in the American goes to the FIU Panthers. What a night. What an overall weekend for FIU.
This is Championship Point in Miami. The winner, Oyin Quadre, of course, the closer. FIU opens their new facility with a league championship, and for the first time in program history, FIU back-to-back Conference USA champions.
So to be on this stage is just to motivate everybody out there and let you know that if you put your mind to it and you got creative minds around you, you can get anything done. And that's why I say when someone tells you sky's the limit, you say, nah, partner, this footprint's on the moon. So you keep it moving, you keep it pushing. So with that said, now we're in FIU, and we're talking about Pitbull Stadium.
South Florida's own Deborah Bienname on her first career PK gets her first career goal. And for the first time in program history, FIU are Conference USA champions.
Now, it is my honor to formally introduce the seventh head coach in FIU history, your head football coach, Willie Simmons.
A lot of fun memories there and moments that athletes at FIU will remember for the rest of their lives. And FIU fans, plenty to think about happening and starting in 2024. We told you earlier, it's about that time. Caught up with Athletic Director Scott Carr. Before we get to that, though, and in the spirit of an extra long podcast edition here in the holiday season, a little story of who this man is. I think FIU fans kind of get a little taste from, you know, a press conference or a sit-down interview with national media, but from behind the scenes, we all kind of got to know Scott Carr and the man that he is very, very quickly. So the first year he's with FIU, also happened to be my first year traveling with football, and we go to New Mexico State, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and this is the furthest road trip for FIU. So it is a long day on both ends, and this is before New Mexico State was in Conference USA. So it was far from a regular thing. It's a brand new experience for everybody on that trip. And wrapping the day up, FIU winds up winning the game, which is great. Infectious energy, the tremendous feelings that come with a win, especially in that case, it was a challenging run leading up to it. And so we're headed back to El Paso, because when you go to Las Cruces, you fly in and out of El Paso, Texas. And the day's wrapping up. Everyone in the support staff hanging by the back of the bus, talking about the game. All of a sudden, here comes Scott Carr. Oh boy, new boss. Everyone kind of, you know, sit up straighter, be on your P's and Q's. The athletic director has come back here to tell us something. No one has any idea what it is. Looks at us all, sticks out a trash bag, and says, hey, anyone have any trash they want to throw away? This is the athletic director, brand new, off a win, coming to the back of the bus and asking us if we have anything we want to throw away. That's not done anywhere. Division one, two, three, it's just not something you see. And so this is the guy who talked about service leadership in his opening press conference and is walking the walk. There were no cameras. Social team was putting out stuff for the win. They weren't filming him do this so he could get a reaction and show it. He just did it. And he's continued that trend ever since. So I hope that kind of gives everyone listening a little glimpse at who you're about to hear from. Really good amount of time with Scott Carr. Always an excellent conversation. So we hope you enjoy it. A quick timeout to hear from our friends at Baptist Health and then interview with Athletic Director Scott Carr.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Now with Athletic Director Scott Carr. And Scott, obviously, the way the college athletics calendar shakes out these days means that you don't have a lot of free time. So we appreciate you sitting down with us. But we have to start with the story on campus, the hiring of Willie Simmons. From your standpoint, take us through the process. What was it like in this wild time in college athletics to have to move so quickly but so carefully in hiring a football coach?
Yes. As you said, college athletics was a crazy busy business 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Now I don't have a big enough vocabulary to tell you what it's like now, but still a lot of fun, you know, loving every minute of it. It's been a hectic time. People told me there was something called Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago. I'm not exactly sure what that was. I've heard rumors about it, right? But really looking forward to Christmas coming up here in a couple of days. Yeah, so crazy time, like you said. So what happens, well, when you make a coaching change now, okay, what that does for us when we made the change, it meant that the portal opened a week early for us, right? So the portal actually opened on, I believe it was December 8th or 9th, whatever that Monday was.
Yeah.
Well, for us, it opened the Monday before. Right, as soon as we made the coaching change, right? And rightfully so. The young men on a football team, if their coach is no longer the coach, they should have the right to look at other options, right? So the portal opened immediately. So we knew that we needed to move really quickly on our head coaching search. You're going to probably want to do that anyway, but we knew that we needed to move at warp speed. Yeah. But we wanted to be thorough. I certainly had a pretty strong opinion of what I was looking for in our next head coach, some of the qualities that we were looking for in terms of being able to recruit South Florida, being able to recruit the state of Florida, being able to build some really great relationships with the young man on our team and, you know, someone that could really excite the Florida and South Florida community. So some of those, along with a lot of other, you know, somebody that was a winner, we were certainly looking for somebody that was a winner. So we moved really quickly. We made the decision on Sunday, met with the team that night, was working with the search firm Sunday night, Monday morning, identifying candidates. We started interviews. I believe it was Tuesday, Wednesday. We did a bunch of interviews, then started some in-person interviews and made our final decision on Saturday morning. So it was a very quick search, but Willie Simmons was somebody that I've known for a while, someone that was certainly on my list, very high on my list for lots of reasons, and especially here at FIU. He would have been high on my list no matter where. Again, the Florida connections he has, the South Florida connections he has, the fact that he's a winner, the fact that he's a really good human being. He checks a lot of boxes right off the bat. So he was somebody that I had on my radar before we ever started the search. What was great about the search is we had some really strong candidates.
No doubt.
And Willie he really rose to the top. Again, checked all those boxes. Charismatic, high energy. I mean, I'll add a lot of things to what I've already said, but checked a lot of those boxes and could not be more excited to have him here. And he has done nothing but impress me even more from where I was when we hired him. His approach to our team, his approach to hiring his staff, his approach with our staff, just the way he conducts himself. He's exceeded my expectations, and my expectations were high, right? So that's saying a lot about him and where we are, and I couldn't be more excited about our future.
I think everybody on campus feels the exact same way. Any interaction that any of us have had with him has been 110%. It's been a true pleasure. I ask this kind of knowing the answer and knowing you and how your process is, but how big of it was the fact that Coach Simmons had been a head coach before and had already proven, FCS level to FBS level different, but had already proven, hey, I'm going to take a program that had some struggles and turn it into a proven winner. How much for you was that the defining feature?
For me, it's always going to be a factor, as you said, right? You've gotten to know me over the past 3 years a little bit. I'm always going to have on my candidate profile, it's going to say head coach preferred.
Right.
Not required,
yeah,
but preferred, right? Just simply because they know exactly what needs to happen when they come in, right? So it was certainly a preferred quality. But it wasn't just being a winner. It was the programs that he took over were not winning.
Right.
Right. Doesn't mean that they hadn't won in the past or hadn't done some things. But the years leading up to him taking over, I think at one school, maybe it was 5 straight losing seasons. And at another one, it was 6 or 7. It was something in those in that neighborhood. And the very first year, he won. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's, you know, in every single year that he's been a head coach, he's won. Right. That was certainly a big factor for me as well. We talked to a lot of great candidates. Some of those candidates that were really strong have not been a head coach before. And so I am certainly open to hiring someone who's not been a head coach before, but sure, it is on my coach profile candidate list preferred.
When you're going through this process as an athletic director, how much do you lean on not only the people around you, your fellow people here in administration, but family, faith? I mean, this is an exhausting process that you have to do in like 5 seconds.
Yes. Exhausting is a whirlwind. Exhausting. Those are great words for it. But, you know, it's just that adrenaline just gets you through it. And,
sure,
and it's always funny, too, because you sit back sometimes. You literally don't know what day it is. Right. You're just going. It's tomorrow. Right. I don't know what day it is, but it's I know it's not yesterday. It's today. Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, you certainly do that. For me, it's leaning on a few really trusted mentors. Mm-hmm. I won't use names. The key to it is I know that they have my best interest at heart, and I have FIU's best interest at heart, right? So you can kind of weed through the people that want to give you some advice,
right,
that might have their best interest at heart or someone else's best interest at heart. But, you know, you're able to sit back and go, okay, I'm going to talk to someone who has my best interest at heart, knowing that I have FIU's best interest at heart, not my own best interest at heart. There was a few trusted mentors. You know, in the past, I would really lean into my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure,
he was a trusted mentor and advisor. It would have been nice to have had that, but I also know what his thoughts were on Willie Simmons. There's not somebody that was a bigger Willie Simmons fan out there than Bill Carr was. You know, so I was able to already lean into that a little bit, right? But yeah, so there was a few trusted mentors I lean into. And then, you know, there's people in this business that you trust as well, mm-hmm, that you're able to have conversations with about candidates. They're going to shoot you straight, right? And you have to weed through that because, yeah, again, there's going to be people that are going to tell you what they want you to hear about somebody. And so you really have to make sure that you have those relationships and you have trust. So that is certainly a big factor. And I want to give a shout out to a couple people that we talked about publicly, Parker Executive Search Firm. They're some people in the business that I trust, Daniel Parker and Delana. Also Keith Tribble. You know, Keith Tribble gave me my first full-time job in the industry down here working at the Orange Bowl Committee back in 1997. And he's somebody that is a mentor and someone that I fully trust. And so having him engaged throughout the process, you know, right there is a right hand for me, was somebody I really leaned into, and he was great. I want to give a lot of credit as well to Dr. Jessel.
Yeah.
And also trustee and board chair Roger Tovar. I really valued their feedback and their opinions throughout the process. And again, I know that they have my best interest and FIU's best interest at heart. They were phenomenal throughout the process and gave their time. What people have to realize is it might be Wednesday night and I'm telling people I need them to be available for an interview Thursday morning at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, right? I mean, it's that fluid, and people don't really understand that sometimes, that it could literally be Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, and I'm saying, hey, are you available tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning for an interview? And those two gentlemen and Keith Tribble were saying, yes, we're available, right? So, you know, I can't thank them enough for that.
No doubt. It's a wild process, but at the end of the day, everyone did a great job.
Yes.
Because the exact hire that needed to be made was made. I know it feels like it's all football all the time, but fortunately here at FIU, we've got some other sports doing a lot of really great things. So
Absolutely. Let's
kind of look back at what happened, especially this fall with women's soccer taking the season, I mean the dream season, putting that on the table, plus a lot of other success over the course of this last year as we kind of look back at 2024.
Couldn't be more excited about what happened with our women's soccer program. You know, hats off to Coach Garber.
Yeah.
He came in. It was before I got here. I know that he inherited a situation that was a huge challenge, right, just in a lot of ways. And he built the program the right way, and it paid off. All conference on offense, all conference players on defense. They were Jonathan Garber recruits that were here with him for 4 years.
Yep.
Or they were somebody that was here that was with him for 4 years for his culture, right? And for his player development and for those kind of things that were happening. That's so nice and pure that's still able to occur in some sports in college athletics,
feels
right?
Foreign, when, doesn't
right,
it?
Right. With, yeah. You know, with football and men's basketball, it, you know, that's just not the way of the world anymore. You know, no. To have somebody with you for 4 or 5 years, I don't know that we're going to see that much anymore, but it's so nice to see that, you know, the way that it should be, you know, where you're able to just really develop those players and have them bought in and have that senior leadership. So it was so much fun to watch, you know, just for me 3 years ago, seeing where the team was and just seeing how much better they would get every game, right? Every week, each year was wonderful, right? So it was great to see those young ladies. I was able to go 3 years ago. I was able to go. They invited me to their end of the year banquet and was able to go to that banquet. And so to see those same young ladies here a few years later, you know, winning the regular season and the tournament championship was just wonderful for me to see. Just very exciting.
No doubt. That group came into FIU 2020, 2021, which was when I started FIU. So I'm right there with you. I've seen them go from their freshman year to now, and it's been remarkable.
Yes.
The growth that they've had.
Yes.
But they are not the only successful team on campus.
That's right.
And we got to go back to what happened last spring as we kind of encompass all of 2024, headed right back into where we're headed now. You know, we're getting closer to tennis and swimming, and a lot of the programs that have not only had success in 2024, but have had success now going on for the better part of a decade.
Yes.
In the case of swimming and tennis. I mean, you're talking about almost dynastic programs here at FIU.
Yes. No, absolutely. And again, so much credit goes to the leaders of those programs, right? The coaches, right? Randy and Kat that are leading those respective programs. They do a phenomenal job, right? They lean into the positives that FIU and the city of Miami provide, right? Because they certainly both deal with challenges, right? You know, that we all do, right? I mean, every program is going to deal with challenges, right? But we don't currently have a pool on campus, right? I mean, that's a challenge that they deal with. You know, there's a pool up at the BBC campus, right?
Biscayne
but that's
Bay,
a good, you know, good 50 minutes or so away from the main campus
on
here.
On a good day.
On a good day, right? And they've really leaned into to that. And, you know, it's exciting that even with us changing conferences in swimming, right, that they were able to win a conference championship this past year and, you know, 9 out of the past 10 years of conference championships, right?
Yeah.
So just doing a remarkable job. And, you know, Coach Kat with our tennis team and, you know, what they're doing. And it was so exciting to be able to open the new PayCargo, you know, tennis center there. And special thanks to PayCargo and Eduardo Del Riego for making that happen with those brand new tennis courts. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, opening up a week before the conference tournament that we hosted and we're able to win, you know, within a week of opening up that brand new tennis complex, we were able to win a conference championship there. So couldn't be more proud of what they're doing with their programs and you know, winning those championships and providing great experiences.
As we kind of transition into the look ahead, right? Obviously, we sit here in the middle of basketball season, getting ready to start conference play on both the men's and women's side. You've got softball and baseball right around the corner. A lot of things to be excited about. There's a spring game. It always comes back to football. There's a spring game coming up in a few months, too. And so as we kind of move from 24 into 25, a lot for Panther Nation to be stoked about.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we had a lot of great preseason hype and accolades on our women's basketball side, rightfully so. It has been challenging when, you know, the two young ladies that were preseason all-conference players, we've been dealing with injuries with them the entire season so far, right? So that always makes it challenging when 40% of your starting five have been injured, and they're so talented and such, you know, such wonderful people. Hopefully we can get them back soon from their injuries. But, you know, really excited about our women's basketball program. You know, men's basketball, they're a very talented team, and we've lost so many close games, right? I mean, our record could be so different right now, but just really excited about the progress I've seen in them over the past month. Excited to see conference. You know, I know our conference is really strong this year, which is a good thing, but, you know, looking forward to seeing how we do in conference as well. So excited about that. And then, as you mentioned, you know, obviously, as you think about the spring, there's a lot of sports in the spring, as we've talked about a few already, but you mentioned specifically baseball and softball. Really excited about those teams for this upcoming year and seeing where we are. You know, I liked what I saw last year from both programs. We were able to keep a lot of those rosters together as well, right? And add some pieces. So, so really looking for some good years on the diamonds as well.
One of the interesting things that affects all of these programs, from swimming to cross country to golf to football, is facilities, right? It's something we talk about so often in college athletics, and there's been a lot of good movement on that front. You mentioned tennis getting exactly what they need. you know, you've got new lights at basketball. You've continued to develop. There's a new softball dugout that fans are going to see this year. Amidst the landscape of college athletics as it is, that gets even more challenging. But despite that, we've seen a lot of good things. You have to be excited about that.
Yes, absolutely. You know, from a facility standpoint, when I first got here, December of 21, I had two things in mind. One was we really needed to put together a strategic plan.
Yep.
And we really needed to assess our facilities and put together a facilities master plan. We've worked on both of those. We haven't put the facility master plan out publicly yet, and there's a reason for that. I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But really identifying some areas that we needed to make some improvements in our facilities. We were able to do some fundraising. You know, that first 12 months I was here, we got some great gifts, probably November of 22. So about 11 months after I got here, we had four donors step up and give us $500,000 each. It was $2 million. And that was outside of Eduardo's gift for the tennis complex.
Right.
And so we were really excited about that. We were able to update our hydrotherapy rooms.
Yeah.
For all of our student athletes, right? Not just one sport, but all sports. Been able to build a brand new weight room over here at the Ocean Bank Convocation Center. You know, when I got here, we had a wonderful weight room, but there was one weight room.
Right.
Right? And 17 sports, right? So
yep.
we were able to get a second weight room, which has been wonderful for six of our sports now are able to work out in that weight room. And we've already gotten great feedback from the coaches and student athletes about that. You mentioned the new LED lights at the basketball arena. We've gotten upgraded Wi-Fi at the basketball arena now. So it's a great fan experience for basketball and volleyball games now at Ocean Bank Convocation Center. You know, we've been able to do some locker room upgrades, right? You know, with track and field, with beach volleyball, we've been able to do some different things there. We actually have two areas that were some very underutilized little half-court basketball courts because
right.
you couldn't shoot three-pointers from certain areas. So we redid them. We redid the areas, and now there's a perfect half-court that both the men's and women's can use when the main floor is being occupied by something else. So our young men and young women on those basketball teams can get shots up just about any time they want,
right?
Which is huge for our basketball programs. As you mentioned, the softball dugouts, which is going on, so that's great as well. So a lot of things going on with facilities, you know, a lot of those things that are kind of behind the scenes that people don't realize as well. I can't tell you how many HVAC units we've had to replace. and by the way, those are not inexpensive, okay?
No.
if anybody's wondering out there, you can't replace an HVAC unit on a building that's less than six figures, okay? So
yeah.
So let's just start with that, right? So doing a lot of those types of things as well that you may not see with your eyes as well, but your staff and student athletes notice it because here in Miami, if the AC's not working, you notice it pretty quickly.
We know it well.
Right, you know it well. So been able to do a lot of those types of things. But just being honest, about a year ago, we really shifted our focus from trying to fundraise for facilities to trying to fundraise for NIL. It has just become very, very real. Something that, you know, 3 years ago, we were talking a little bit about NIL, but it was a much different world. There were 3 years ago, we weren't talking about collectives. We weren't talking about revenue sharing with student athletes. That wasn't the conversation 3 years ago, and it is today, and it's a very important one. We've gone all in on NIL and needing to raise that money to share with our student athletes, and we've hit pause a little bit on our facility master plan and what we were looking to do there to be really aggressive in that space, to be more aggressive in the NIL space.
Although what's great about that is you talk about there are still things being done, right? It's not 100% to zero, which is amazing.
That's correct.
But we do have to talk about it because we've heard the phrase revenue sharing more in this past, say, 6 months than in the history of everything, of economy, of business, of all of it, as it completely moves the model, right? And right now we have NIL. In 6 months, we're going to have NIL and revenue sharing, both as separate and yet the same and yet supposed to be different. Kind of take us through, from your standpoint, how it's all changed as what feels like the rules change daily.
The best saying you can say is we're building the plane while we're flying it, right?
Yeah,
you hear
right.
people say that a lot of times. And it is very challenging because as a leader, all you want to know is what are the rules,
right.
what are the policies, and we'll plan accordingly. We'll build the best plan possible for FIU. The challenge is we don't know what the rules and the policies actually are.
Right.
Right. And they change on us as we're making plans. Right. So it makes it more challenging. What we think we know with the House settlement, we're supposed to get some sort of clarification in April. They say April 7th. I treat this like a construction project. If they're saying April 7th, that means I'm hoping by May 7th we actually have some clarity.
Miami time down here.
Right, exactly, exactly, right? We're going to be able to do the revenue sharing. To your point, what's allowed today per the NCAA is for collectives to give money to student-athletes. The institution, the athletic department, the university, is not allowed to give money to student-athletes. On July 1st, what they're telling us is that's going to flip completely. It's going to be a complete 180 to where the collectives are not technically supposed to just give the money to the student-athletes, but the universities are now going to be allowed to, right? So that's just a challenge in and of itself of trying to balance, you know, the next 6 months compared to the next iteration of college athletics. So we're working through that. But then what's going to happen is they're going to implement with revenue sharing that you're going to be able to give up to $20.5 million a year in revenue share to student athletes, right? There's 65 P4 programs. They're also saying that they're going to be given the $20.5 million, right? A lot of the schools, the, you know, that are our size are not going to be able to get to $20.5 million, but they're all trying to get as high as they possibly can, right? So what does FIU need to do? We need to get as high as we possibly can in the revenue sharing as well, right?
Absolutely.
We know that in football, you can recruit in Miami. Mm-hmm. It's the most fertile recruiting county in the country.
No doubt.
But money talks, right? And these young men that are playing football down here, as much as they want to stay in the city of Miami and have their family come watch them play football, money talks.
Money talks.
And the first comment out of a young man's mouth when you're recruiting them in football is not, boy, this is so great, I don't have to leave home.
Yeah.
It's how much money am I going to get if I come to school here?
Yep.
And that's just the reality of the world that we're in now. And the more people that hear that and understand that so that they can financially support us to help us recruit this fertile area, right? It's more than just about your facilities. It's more than just about how many games you won the year before. It's more than just about who your coaches are and the relationships your coaches have. Those are all still important. You know, can the coach develop me? Can I get to the NFL from your school? Those are all questions that are still asked, but they're not the first question that's asked. The first question that's asked is, how much money am I going to make if I come here? That's the first question that's asked, right? That's the reality of the world we're in. And so we as an institution, we as a fan base, we as a donor base have to understand and embrace that. And so when we're out trying to raise funds for Blueprint Collective, which is extremely important for us right now, as we're out trying to raise funds, you know, for revenue sharing that's coming down the pike, we just need our fan base to fully embrace and understand that it is about how much money can we come up with to help retain our roster and recruit new student athletes. Just so everybody's understanding that, these are public documents that are out there, right? So UConn is a school that we play this upcoming year.
Right.
And their coach and AD are on record saying that this past year they had $1 million for their NIL and that they were planning to double that for this year, right? So that would be $2 million that they would, and that's for their football roster.
Just football.
That's just for football, right? That we know how great they are in men's and women's basketball, right? That's a whole separate NIL bucket of money, right?
Yep.
Just saw with the hiring of a new football coach at UMass. We don't play UMass currently, right? But they're on the level that we're on. They said that this upcoming year they're going to have $2 million for NIL, and next year they're going to have $3 million for NIL, right? So we know the neighborhood that we need to be in when we're out trying to raise money from our alumni base, our fan base, our community, and those are the numbers, right? So
right.
I just want to put those numbers out there to Panther Nation so that they understand that we're looking for several million dollars in new funding, and that's just for football. Right. So that's what we're looking for as we move forward.
I'm glad you put the numbers out there because I think fans, whoever, hear this call to action. Right. And institutions have been asking for donations since the beginning of collegiate education in America. But it's just so different now because it's so professional. You mentioned the limit that's going to come from the House. That's a salary cap. We're talking about negotiations with players. It is so professionalized now that it does come down to not what it used to, but it is so money. But there is thankfully one thing still in college athletics that separates us from the pros, and that is these kids still go to school.
Yes.
And fortunately for us here at FIU, we have seen continual growth in that regard. So alongside players who are earning these tremendous NIL deals and soon-to-be rev share deals, they are doing their job in the classroom, which remains for most of them the more important part. And especially for you who came to FIU talking about the importance of education, it has to be so gratifying for you to hear not only Coach Simmons talk about how important it is to him, but all of our coaches and all of our athletes saying, hey, FIU is still a rising institution from an educational standpoint. They're loving every bit. I imagine you are as well.
100%. I am in this business to change lives. I tell people that my life purpose is to positively impact the lives of others. That's why the Lord has me here on earth, right? By the way, I love sports. I'm competitive. I want to win, right? So, you know, that all factors in, right? But for me, seeing young people that were not going to go to college, more than likely,
right?
First generation, a lot of first generation young men and women come and get their degrees. Mm-hmm. That is what drives me. Do I want to win? 100%. I will always want to win. I'm the most competitive person you'll ever meet. We invite donors and other people to my suite at football games and such.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much time I spend with them or how much they enjoy being around me because I can't miss a play. I mean, I'm into the game, right? So I want to win. But education is incredible, and I'm glad you brought that up because I tell our young people all the time, the goal that I have for them when they come to FIU, I want them to have a wonderful experience,
yep.
And I want them to leave with championship rings on one hand and a diploma in the other.
Absolutely.
And that's non-negotiable. I want both for them. I don't want one or the other. I want both, right? And so for me, it's why I'm in college sports and not in pro sports. It's what it's all about. And so exciting stuff to report. I know we've put it out there a little bit, but highest GPA we've ever had at FIU in recorded history, right? Somebody could tell me back in 1978 it was higher. I don't
there
know. But in
students, they all got
A. Right, in recruited history, right? But recorded history, but a 3.44 GPA, I mean, which is amazing if you think about the fact we have over 400 student-athletes that make up that number, right? So that's incredible. 15 teams that had a 3.0 or better, 7 that had a 3.5 or better. And, you know, and I'm happy to say, I know we've talked a lot about football. We had a 3.0 on our football team for the overall GPA, which is the highest recorded in football, FIU football history. So really excited about that. 19, for all of our sports, 19 straight semesters where we've had a 3.0 or better. It's a testament to a lot of people here, staff members, coaches, and our student athletes that just really emphasize the importance of academics, and we always will, right? We want to win, but we're excited about what we're doing in the classroom because ultimately, 10 years from now, what these young people have done in the classroom is really going to be the main thing that matters. Sure, we can all talk about that 10 years before we won championships and this, that, or the other,
right.
And we'll celebrate those and be excited about them, but that college education that just really sets them up for success in life, and it's you know it's not just life changing for them, it's generational changing.
No doubt, it's classroom and community, right?
Yes.
A couple of C's that make a huge difference, and it's fitting right now as we sit here at the holiday season. So many of our athletes getting involved in the community,
yes,
doing things for those in need. Those, like you say, generational. Those are experiences that anyone will take with them.
Yes, 100%. It's you know again. We're here, FIU is here to serve the local community,
yeah.
Right? It's sure the local community helps serve FIU as well, right? But it's you know, we're here to serve the local community, and our student athletes step up big time. They participate in something called Operation Christmas Child, where it's a shoebox, right? Where you put Christmas gifts in there, and they're distributed really throughout the world, right? For kids that just don't have anything for Christmas, right? Which is just heartbreaking when you think about it, right? And so we donated 663 boxes of presents for children during the toy drive, which was just incredible, you know, for that, which just with our student athletes. And then it seems like, you know, if you add some staff members and other things, we're over 1,000, right, of boxes. And you just think about impacting over 1,000 lives at this time of the year just warms your heart, right? So it's great that our student athletes and our staff just have a heart for giving back to young people. So we're proud to do that as well.
It's been an exciting year in 2024. Even more excitement coming in 2025. Pitbull Stadium and all across campus here at FIU.
We haven't even touched on Pitbull Stadium yet, right? How exciting was that, right? I mean, just amazing to be able to have that partnership, right?
Yeah.
Like I said at the press conference, it's not a sponsorship, right? Armando is bought in, loves FIU. I'm so excited to see what this relationship and partnership is going to do over the course of the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Just with him, you know, we communicate fairly regularly, just kind of updating him on things that are going on here, and he's just so appreciative. But having, you know, Pitbull Stadium and then being able to host the Florida High School state championships down here in football at Pitbull Stadium this year and the next 2 years. Just exciting, everything we have going on, for sure.
No doubt. That's got to be pretty cool for you. All of a sudden, you just, yeah, let me just text Pitbull today, see how he's doing.
Yeah, just checking in, you know, just letting him know. You know, wanted to let him know what was going on with football and, sure, and with Coach Simmons. And we text him that we're excited about Coach Simmons, and, you know, and he looks into Coach Simmons, and he's excited about him, right? You know, right. I mean, it's one of those, we're his team now, right? I mean, it's, you know, he's embraced us, and he's just such a wonderful, wonderful person. I mean, that's what I try to share with everybody. I mean, we all see him as this worldwide mega superstar that he is, but man, he is just such a kind, humble, great human being. And so partnering not just with Pitbull the brand, right, which is what the world knows, but partnering with Armando Perez, who's just a wonderful person. We got a 2-for-1 out of that deal because it's just great being involved with him. And again, it's great for FIU and for our brand that I can't really go anywhere where somebody doesn't at least say, make the connection, wait a minute, Pitbull, you got, right, you know, that Pitbull, you're 100%. Right. And you go, yep, that's us. Right. Yep.
And what's great about it too, is it relates to our athletes. It's not only FIU as a brand, but it's FIU players. When he was talking about where he's from, where he's been, you know, you could look in the crowd and see a guy like Kiwan Jenkins just kind of going, yep, I know that. I've lived there. I've been from Carroll City. So it really is that perfect union,
yes,
of the person and the place all in one. Scott, you are extremely busy, and we have kept you for the better part of 40 minutes. Therefore, we have to let you go, but we always appreciate the time, appreciate your leadership in these turbulent college athletics waters, and we are so looking forward to 2025.
Well, thank you for having me. Always love the opportunity to address Panther Nation, and really excited about our future and, you know, getting more people involved and just really taking things to another level. So paws up to everybody out there.
Always entertaining, always illuminating, FIU's athletic director, Scott Carr, and really an interviewer's dream as well, because it's a conversation. You just tee the boss man up and he'll tell you all that you need to know. It really is a new era in college athletics, and you heard us touch on it in that interview, but we and everyone at FIU are going to lean on Panther Nation now more than ever to step up for these athletes. And you heard all the good things that happened in 2024. So much more on the horizon in 2025, and that happens with everyone out there becoming a part of the team at FIU. It has never been less all the athletes. It is now a full team effort in every way in college athletics. You can go to FIUsports.com. There you can find the ability to join the Panther Club, to become a part of the Blueprint Collective, to just straight donate or buy season tickets. However you want to become a part of this team is more invaluable than ever. We couldn't be happier to have all of you out there on the ride with everyone here at FIU. That's going to do it for us here on the FIU Athletics Podcast. Once again, a happy new year. Hope you had the happiest of holidays. I know so many of you want to know what's going on behind the scenes with football in a continued conversation. I will leave you with a good old-fashioned broadcast tease. Know that we know that you want to hear about it. Catch up with you soon. For now, we hope you have a tremendous new year. And as always, pause up.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.